Blog Talk Radio.
A change has come over me. He changed my life, and now I'm free. Jermaine is coming at this time.
told God yes. I was eager to do what he told me to. In obedience, looking out in the crowd, I see eyes closed, tears falling, hands lifted, people praising and worshiping too. They didn't see me, they only saw you. It felt good, but something was missing. See, I'm empty inside, and I'm wondering why. Will I ever feel what they felt from me? I didn't know the price of yes. Would cost me so much.
I've been broken and bruised, wondering will God heal you, crying out to you, got nothing left to lose. Father,
broken.
I've been broken and bruised, wondering will God heal you, crying out to you, got nothing left to do. Father, hear my plea, need you to rescue me, 'cause I'm broken.
To say, not sure where I start. I'm afraid to begin. It's all falling apart. See, I thought because I was working for you, everything wrong you would undo, but it wasn't quite true. It's hard to admit that I can't feel you like I used to, 'cause I'm in ministry and I'm messed up. I'm confused with no one to talk to. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough, 'cause this is the thing you've anointed me to do.
Broken.
I'm broken.
there's a line left in you to do for me. Now that you're broken,
praise God, praise God. We're here again to give honor, giving God the honor, the praise, the glory for who he is and who we are because of who he is. We just thank God tonight for just for being God all by himself, for being God in our lives. You know, we always say he's God and God alone. Well, how many tonight really believe that God is God and he's God all alone, and he's the God that hears, he's the God that answers all your prayers, he's the God that can move mountains, he's the God that brings miracles and breakthroughs? Do you truly believe that tonight? We begin to just praise him for tonight, for this night, for whatever you went through today. He allowed it to happen, but he allowed you to get there and get to it and get through it, because he's the God that is able to do all things, you know. So we just begin to just give him honor tonight. I give honor to Apostle Rosa Arnold, and I give honor to Minister Jesse Stowe and his lovely Queen Evangelist Tammy Stowe, who are the visionaries of this Blog Talk Omega Ministry Group. We just begin to thank them. I give honor to my queen, and she's with my daughter. So I just give honor to her and just thank God for her. And I just begin to praise God for this night that he has ordained for us, those that are under the sound of my voice, that he will keep you with a keeping anointing and hide you under the shadow of his almighty wings, and that everything that you touch will prosper. We just give you honor, Lord. We just give you thanks, and we just give you praise. Oh, God, we thank you right now. We praise you and we worship you and we magnify your name, Father. Oh, Father, we praise you. And we know there's a lot left to do. And we thank you for brokenness tonight, Father. We thank you for brokenness and the change that has taken place in the midst of the brokenness, Father. We give you honor, God, glory, and praise. The next voice you'll hear tonight be none other than Matriarch, the Apostle Rosa Arnold, giving us words of inspiration. God, we thank you as she comes on. Hold on, Mom, let me open your mic.
91, and it says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As I read that, my mind went to a yard where the chickens and the mother hen was out there watching over her little bitties. You see, God watches over us because we are his, and he takes care of us. And this mother hen spots a hawk, and she knows that it would come to try to take her bitties, and they were all over the yard. But all she had to do was to say, cluck, cluck. Oh, glory to God. Cluck, cluck. And the bitties came from everywhere, and they hid under their mother's wing. Shanabakaya. Now, the hawk didn't bother them. It didn't even bother the mother. I don't think it's a fierce thing to attack a mother, and especially with her babies. You don't attack a mother, even with the lion and the lioness. It's the lioness that you need to be scared of. But you see, God is so great. He covers us with the blood of Jesus every day that we open up to him and ask him for it. And through that blood, he not only saves us, he heals us, he delivers us, he keeps us, and he watches over us for everything that we need. We have but to ask. We don't have to say, cluck, cluck. But we can just run and hide and say, Father, keep me. Hide me. Help me. Hallelujah. And he's right there to do it. So if he'll do it for a mother hen and her little bitties, how much more do you think how God Almighty will do for us when we trust him, when we believe in him, when we search out his word? when we seek the Holy Spirit, and he sends us power and authority when we ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have it, ask him for it. It's his pleasure to give it to you. And you know that you are protected. When you stay close to him, he will not send you away, but he'll draw you nearer under the shadow of his almighty wing. Remember, the Holy Spirit hovers over the earth, calling out what was going to come forth. And God just spoke the word, and the waters left. The earth came up dry. If he can do those things, don't you know he can take care of you? Whatever your need is, he will supply it. He just asks you to love. Let love be in your heart, to be humble before him and before men, and to be obedient. Trust him, and he will bless you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I love you. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. That was awesome. That was so awesome. Trust in him. Believe in him. And the mother chick said, cluck, cluck. And I can hear God say the same thing sometimes when we get in harm's way. And he just said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. Father, we decrease, Father, now that you increase, God. So let the word that comes out of my mouth, which is the Holy Spirit using me and coming forth, God, enter into our ears, God, and we are hearken to the voice of the Lord, Father. Let it be all of you, none of us, Father. Again, as we decrease, God, there'll be less of us, more of you. Father, we just begin to thank you and praise you and worship you for this night that you have ordained, God, to come and sup with us, God, as we have food for our soul, Soul Food Thursday, God. And you bless us, God, in a tremendous and a mighty way like only you can. God, we thank you for the visitation. We thank you for the presence of your precious Holy Spirit. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And so it is. Now, I want to just go back to that part, if you know, just for a moment, and just touch on the simple fact he said that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The wings of God. And so watch this. You know, Jesus said one time, he said, O Jerusalem, how I wish you could come in like a hen covers a brood, and ye would not. So we look at that, and we look at the story of Nebuchadnezzar. And when Babylon took over, you see, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon was a small country compared to Jerusalem at the time. And you can look at it as being how Saddam Hussein, you can look at it as being Saudi Arabia and the United States of America, or North Korea and the United States of America, or let's say Mexico and the United States of America. And God told Nebuchadnezzar, hey, I'm going to give you Jerusalem. So Nebuchadnezzar said, how so? When that's a fortified city and it's way bigger than us, and his army is way, way more than we can even imagine taking over. God said, the only reason why is because my presence is there. So, but when I step back, then those fortified walls come down. And when I step back, then it's you're going to be able to do what I'm telling you you're going to be able to do. So this is what he told Darius and Cyrus and the others. So what I'm looking at is that here's what we ought to. And this is the most fortunate part. When we look at the things that we go through, we look at the things that we endure. When God steps back, right? He steps back and he steps out of your situation, but the wings still cover you. So God steps back, but his wings still cover you. So you wonder why did he allow me to go through these things? You know, we want to say why all the time. But not let's say why, but just say how do I advance in this? How do I analyze this adversity, and how do I move through this adversity, that this adverse situation that has come over in my life? So I began to study that, and I began to manifest on when God stepped back, but God's wings cover me, so I'm still shielded. I'm still protected. I'm still loved by God. What brings us to the topic for tonight is trusting God without tomorrow. You know, can I truly trust God with my tomorrow? And I look at I was driving Saturday to a meeting, and just bear with me. I was driving Saturday to a meeting, and you know I listen to different things while I'm driving, and I listen to some weird stuff, people. But let my wife and my children talk about it. They said, "Little people, the yellow writing." But nonetheless, I was driving. I heard a minister say, he was talking about a hell-shaking prayer, and he was talking about how, you know, we had to go to Daniel, and you go look at how Daniel prayed and how Daniel fasted, and look at the culture of Daniel, the nature of Daniel. He had 80 years of age when Daniel was with Darius and Cyrus. He was working, and he was over all the governors and all the satraps. And then even at that, was at the ninth chapter. Even in that, when Daniel still found time to pray to God three times a day. So when you look at it, that the people couldn't even find fault in Daniel, except for the fact that what Daniel did, and that was his praying. So when they say, okay, let's sign a decree that anybody that prays or worships at any other time that's inside you, they get thrown into the lions then. I'm paraphrasing. So Daniel, as soon as he got the decree and noticed the decree, he went right to his room, right to his home, got into his window, opened up the doors, and began to pray to God. See, some of us, just being truthfully speaking, when that decree came, we just would have shut up. We wouldn't continue to pray. We just gave up our prayer life, gave up our praise, gave up our worship, and that's what we do. I mean, that's why the song Broken was so needed tonight, because it's sometimes that we get so complacent with God, so to a place with God that we're stagnant. But God is saying now, sometimes you have to be broken. I need you to be broken again. We always pray general prayers as far as for my loved ones. I want my unsaved loved ones to be saved. I want my marriage to be into a better place. I need my finances. We pray these prayers with rhetoric. Like I always talk about certain pastors, and nothing bad about them. I just say some are real rhetoricians, because we get you excited and you be hyped up on Sunday. And you leave out after Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you go back to your humdrum life because you don't get what you really need. See, and I look at it, and I look at how Daniel prayed, and I looked at how sometimes we need somebody that's going to pray that still talk about hellfire, still talk about the correction of God, still talk about the wrath of God. See, we've gotten to a place where we like the smooth preaching and the itching ear preaching. You know, we've gotten to that place where that's all we desire. You know that it's going to be all right. But it's not always going to be all right. See, because like I was telling people when I was hustling, that the House on the Hill church, the church for the House on the Hill and the prosperity message, that wouldn't fit me when I was hustling in the street. Why? Because I already had that. I already had the nice cars. We already had the nice house. So what does that mean? What else can God do for me if I already got that? And so you put yourself, Lord of God, as your own God, and that's what has happened. Well, we have got so many people that have made themselves their own God, and they're not serving God. So if I'm God myself, why would I submit and surrender myself to another God to begin to trust in God when I can provide for me? But see, what we have forgotten to do as ministers and of the gospel is preach with the emotion of the excruciating pain and anguish, and tell the truth that sometimes it's not going to always be all peaches and cream. He didn't promise you that. He said, if I partake in the blessing of Christ, if I partake in the resurrection of Christ, I must also partake in the suffering of Christ. And sometimes I suffer. Sometimes I'm going to struggle. But even in the midst of my struggling, even in the midst of the bad marriage, even in the midst of the financial woes, even in the midst of the illnesses, and even in the midst of the unexpected deaths from a loved one, I got to trust God and know that God has it all in control. I got to begin to look forward at him and say, God, I know it. God, I trust you. God, see, let me tell you, in Psalm 139, right, David said, God knows. He said, you know my lying down. You know when I wake up. He said, well, if I go to the deepest of the deeps, you are there. If I go to the highest of the highest, you are there. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm just telling you. He said, God knows. How many of you know tonight that God knows? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, he said, I'm telling you tonight, God knows. Whatever anxiety you got going on, whatever fear you got, whatever doubt, whatever discouragement, whatever disappointment, God knows. God said, don't you know I have a son? His name is Jesus, and he went through the betrayal. He went through the disappointments. He went through the backbiting. He went through the I don't know you. He went through the unbelief. He went through all these things. They said you have a high priest who have been touched with every infirmity that you've been touched with, yet he did not sin. So you have a crowd of witnesses. We talked about the crowd of witnesses before. You have a crowd of witnesses that you can look at. You can use Jesus. You can use the Apostle Paul. You can use Peter and John. You can use David and Daniel and Joseph. See, we get to a point where, here's what God said when I was talking about the prayer of Daniel. Let me go back to him just a little bit. But Daniel began to pray. And Daniel's prayer, it was so powerful that Satan incited the people to even go to the king with the decree. Because I got to stop this guy from praying. I got to stop him from shaking up hell. But how many of you do you still pray? How often do you pray? Ask yourself a question. I heard a minister, I shared this with a brother of mine today. I said, listen, I said, oh, he said all over the world. I just said, I just used Dallas for instance, because the Dallas Cowboys are supposed to be the America's team or whatever. I said, in some churches, when in the fall, when the football games goes on, at 11:30, they shut down the service so they can get to the game because they got to get to the tailgate and they got to get to the party. You know, but here's what I'm saying is that we know all the stats of all the athletes. I mean, we know the stats. We know the stat lines. We know how many points they scored, how many touchdowns they scored, how many receptions they received. The ladies, you know all your soap operas. You know the actors, actresses. You know all the things they do. We spend all this time in front of that television, all this time knowing all this stuff. But sometimes and often the majority can't even quote a scripture. Yet you say you love me, is what God said. Yet you say you love me, but you can't take time to spend a little time with me. We're talking about hell shaking prayer. You got loved ones that's on crack cocaine. You got loved ones that's in prostitution. You got loved ones that are lost, that are just completely lost. And if they died right now today, they'll bust hell wide open. But if you're talking about hell shaking prayer, but you're not praying that type of prayer. I remember when my wife and I first got married, and her pastor at the time, Pastor Alonzo Johnson, had me minister in Columbia, South Carolina, and at his church, and I began to just pray and the weeping of God. How many do you understand weeping for souls? I mean, he told them in Lamentations, say, teach your women, teach the ladies how to lament, teach them how to wail. And that's what God is saying tonight. Are you really, you crying out for revival, but do you really cry out for revival? Are you really crying out for lost souls? Is it really a burden to you right now? Your unsaved loved ones, is that really a burden to you? Your neighbor, when you see how it's dilapidated, is that really a burden to you? Please forgive me, I'm going to, this is what God is taking me. I had something totally different, but God is, it's what God is tonight. God said, man, we got to get to a point in our life where this really matters, where loving God really matters. So Daniel began to pray. I mean, Daniel prayed in such anguish, and he began to pray. He put himself in the same position of everyone else, even though, you know, in our eyes, Daniel was a righteous man, but he said, God, we are all sinners, and I repent. We all repent, God. He began to pray a prayer of repentance for the whole nation of Israel when he realized the fate. And the minute he began to pray, I'm going to tell you, the hell shaking prayer, it shook hell so bad. The minute he began to pray, God came with an answer right then. And the prince of Persia held up Gabriel with the answer. So he said, as soon as you went down to pray, God gave the answer, but I've been warned with the prince of Persia, and the archangel Michael and them had to come and rescue me so I can give you this message, what God has said. But let me ask you, do your prayer shake hell? Does your prayer even get through? Ask yourself these questions tonight. Am I making a difference? Or is God really concerned with what I'm concerned about? Are my prayers really touching God the Father? God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Is it really affecting the kingdom of darkness? Am I really shattering some things in my neighborhood where there's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and things in high places? Am I really casting down strongholds and pulling down vain imaginations in my prayer life? Am I praying effectively? Are my prayers, they say the effective prayers of the righteous avail of much. Are my prayers availing at all? Or am I wasting my time because God is not hearing the things I'm saying because it's not effective, because I'm not really concerned. I'm just doing lip service. He said, you know, you sing all the right songs and you say all the right words, but your heart is so far from me. If you look at the Song of Solomon, you can see how the love relationship began to go and the story goes, and you say, okay, oh, that's a very romantic story, and that's so romantic, and the lips is very good. And how many times you had a man just woe you and just say such things that was just sweet nothings in your ear, and you knew there were nothing. So it had no reference. It had no substance. And so ask yourself tonight, God, is my prayer substantial? Does my prayer have substance? When I get down, or am I even praying? Wow, ask yourself that question. Now, am I still? Because I ask myself tonight, why do believers we don't pray as much anymore? And the answer is, it's a hard answer. And some of you, we're not going to want to receive it, but guess what God said? You fell out of love with me. You don't really love me anymore. So that's why you don't spend time with me anymore. That's why you don't pray with me anymore. That's why you don't. So you can find every other thing to occupy your time. But I'm saying, give me that time. Give me them 3-4 hours just in front of me. Come and talk to me. Come and show me. You say you want more. You say you want me to take you higher. But you won't spend time with me. You won't. And like I said, it's your matter of intent. What are your intentions in this relationship, says God? What is your motive behind getting to know me or getting to love me or getting to, or is it what's in my hand? Or do you want my heart? Or do you want to lay your feet at my bosom? I mean, your head at my bosom and your head at my feet. What do you really want from me? Do you want me to be like a genie? You rub my stomach like a genie and I belt out wishes for you at your command? Tell me. That's what God is saying. Like, what is it? What are your, ask yourself, what are my intentions with being saved? Why do I really want to get saved? Do I really want to be sanctified? And do I want power so I can use curses and call down fire? Or do I want fame? What do I really want from God? Do I really want God at all? He said, people smoke marijuana and be hooked for life. People snort cocaine, hooked for life. Take Oxycontin pills, can be hooked for life. Get on heroin, can be hooked for life. Drink alcohol, can be hooked for life. But we can go back and forth with God. Why can't we get hooked? Because we don't love him enough. There's no glamour in it. That's that attraction, that thing. What is? Why can't we just hold on to that thing with God? Or why would we be like how Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? See, and I'm asking something tonight, oh, body of Christ, who have bewitched you? And why now will we be the very elect be fooled if deemed necessary? Why will we be the foolish virgins and not the wise? And even the wise virgins went to sleep waiting on the bridegroom to come. So ask yourself that. I'm talking about we need to learn how to love God with everything inside of us, with our very last breath. Again, this is God taking me somewhere totally different, but he just want to talk to you tonight. I just want to let you know that God loves you tonight, but we got to love him. We got to really love God, and not with lip service, not with the rhetoric, but with our actions. He said, I hear you say you love me, but why don't you obey me? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I ain't talking about it but George Flint tonight, because this is my conviction. This is me. I'm like, yeah, we want revival, and yeah, we want this and that, but are you really putting forth the effort? Are you really? Let's look what anguish means. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. Have you really went down to God lately with extreme pain and distress for your neighborhood, for your generation, for your unsaved loved ones, for your children, for your marriage? Extreme pain and distress. See, here's extreme pain and distress. At Gethsemane, Christ prayed, and they said, his sweat was like blood coming out on the side of his head, because he was in extremely painful and distressful moment saying, God, if it be thy will, God, could you please remove this cup from me? And he was praying because he knew what he was about to endure. See, in the real message, we're talking about changed by circumstances and chained by circumstances. And he was chained to the gospel. He was chained to the cross. He was chained to the life, the death, the resurrection. He was chained by a circumstance that he said, God, I'll go. He said, Father, send me, I'll go. I know you tried Abram. I know you tried Noah. I know you tried David. And none of this was effective, but send me, Lord, I'll go. And I'll be the scapegoat. I'll be the goat that they broke their bread, and I'll be the scapegoat. I'll be one and the other at the same time. Send me, Lord, I go. I'm the lamb. I'm the sacrificial lamb, God, but I'm the scapegoat that these demons won't hunt any longer, because now they have a choice. Now hell doesn't have such a sting. The grave doesn't have a sting, and death doesn't have its power over your children anymore, because and he wrestled in Gethsemane, praying, even telling the disciples, can you just tarry with me just a moment? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you. But how many often can you just say that I laid out and I began to just pray? And God dealt me and said, George, you know, when you've gotten away from your first love, you used to just lay out and just cry out for me. You used to be in the war room and just in your closet, in your secret place, and just spending time with me. So, you know, some say falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. And I can't understand, why can I fall out of love with God? And why do I get disgusted with God sometimes when he don't move the way I want him to move? But he said, hey, I'm long-suffering. He said, you know, you got to understand that you want all of me. And so this is all of me. But we don't understand that sometimes it takes these things to get more of God, to understand more of God, understand who he is, and begin to trust him. I heard a wise man say, you can trust God with your past, you can trust God with your failures, but that one thing that we always tend to want to hold on to is that we always want to tend to hold on to our tomorrow, because that's our hope, and that's that I think I can control. But God said, I need all of that. So that leads me to the scripture where we had in Matthew, the 6th chapter, 25, watch this, verses 25 through 33, which says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about his own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when we look at these things and we look at God, and here's where we are, like I said, circumstances. Marriage, circumstances, illnesses, circumstances, finances, circumstances, unexpected death of your family members, anything like that. Tragic, all tragic situations that can be circumstances, car accidents, different things. I got fired from the job. Circumstances, and then we go with the what ifs, right? What if this, God? What if that? What if my marriage fails? What if my finances go away? What if this? What if my mortgage? What if I can't pay the mortgage? What if I'm getting evicted? What if my car is getting repossessed? God said, trust me. Take no thought for these things. We got to get to a place in God where we take no thought of tomorrow. But like I said, tomorrow is sufficient. We'll worry about his own things. And so we got to look at that point where I'm talking to George Flint, man, because I know how anxiety can get in. I know how fear can get in. I'm concerned. We say I'm concerned and I'm worried. But God said, why are you worried when I told you I got it? When I said it, that I said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Why? Because I told you that trust in me. You think God does not know what you're going through? You think God does not know that your bills are due? You think God does not know that the rent needs to be paid? You think God does not know that food needs to be on your table? You think he does not know? Who is God if he does not know? Psalm 139, David said, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, oh Lord, you know it all together." I'm saying, God, you know it. God, you know, God, that the bills are due. You know, God, that food need to be on the table. You know, God, we need the lights need to be on. You know. And so, God, if God knows and he knows, and guess what? He's able to provide those things. You said he's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. So why are we worried? We got to trust in God. See, what happens is that we've been so much entrusted in us that we forgot how to trust God. And I'm talking to George Flint, man. I got to figure this out. We'll figure it out. I said, "Well, come on, we got to figure some things out." No, we got to get in God's face, get in His presence, and hear His voice. See, sometimes we got to make sure that we know His voice enough that we won't continue to hearken to the voice of the other. He said, "You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Sometimes we can't attain how God moves. We cannot attain how he's so awesome and how he's so magnificent. Let's look at Abram. He told him, "Man, get thee out of this place and get to a place where I have designed for you, for your kindred." He had to just trust God. "I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what you just gave me a direction, but I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know nothing that's going about it." We also went in between. And then even when at the point, when he told him, "Get rid of Ishmael," and then he told him, give me Isaac. But even in the midst of doing that and his Moriah experience, God provided a ram in the bush. Why? Because God, he's God. Why the songwriter said, "We come this far by faith," what, ladies and gentlemen? Leaning on the Lord. And then what's the next word? Trusting in his holy word. And they tell us, "He never failed me yet." We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. "He never failed me yet." We look at David in the cave of Adullam. You know, he had to trust God that God would protect him. And when Saul wanted to kill him, even though he knew God had gave him an assignment, God told him that you're going to be the next king. So I can't die now because God already told me I'm going to be the next king. How can I die? God, if you said it, and that's what I'm telling you tonight, when you're going through some things that you're going through, when you feel like you're sinking, and Satan comes in, we look at Revelation 12, when he wars against the saints, when Satan comes in as a flood, because the war is against you now, so he comes in as a flood with all his different things, and with all his tactics, and all his assignments, and all his imps, and all those things coming at you, you got to remember that word God has given you. He said, "Hold fast to that thou hast," and you got to know that I can't die now, I can't drown now. God, you said I got to do this and do that and do this and do that. So, God, I got to stand up. And you got to go just like Elijah said, God, at your word. But see, how do you know his word if you're not spending time with him? We got to spend time with God. See, I had a thing that I used to do called "The Fire Won't Go Out," and I've been convicted of it for a while now, and you guys probably heard me say it again, so we've got to do it. We've got to do "The Fire Won't Go Out." I'm calling on everybody to help me, but here's what God has said, though, even in the midst of doing that, you let it go out. Because you found every other thing to do. You was occupied. You allowed yourself to be occupied with things of the world. See, here's what we don't want to preach. We don't want to preach how the world has impacted the church more than the church has impacted the world. We don't want to preach that. We don't want to preach how we got so caught up in entertainment and got away from preaching the true, adulterated truth of God and life, death, the resurrection and the fire and the wrath of God and that God is, his name is jealous. And we don't want to preach that part. We just want to preach the good things of God. And you know, we look so much like the world. But I want to tell you now, in time of anguish, in time of intercession, in time of prayer, I got a text yesterday that said, in Germany, they've legalized incest. There's no longer incest where a brother can marry a sister, a father can marry his daughter, a mother can marry her son. In Germany, you can go to what they call a prostitution house, and you can go get your dog to have sex with. So if you want a German Shepherd, or you want a Pit Bull, or you want a St. Bernard, you can go and you can go to that house and get you, and it's legal. In Canada, they just legalized bestiality. You want something to pray about? That's what I'm talking about. This is the anguish part. This is what I'm talking about. That's what God is saying. Extreme pain and distress. Here's another thing. Listen, in Miami, public sex is legal. How far will we go to anger God, to his wrath? So we say, God, when is your judgment? We've done far more than Sodom and Gomorrah has done right now. I said, my brother, I was saying, it's like, have they done that before? And I was saying, and it's just like, well, you know, you're telling people about this. You played the devil's advocate on the flip side. And he was like, well, it's in the Bible. You know, you look at Abram told him to go get my son Isaac, go get a wife for him. He told his servant, go get a wife for him from my own people. So you look at that, and that was a cousin. Or you look at Jacob married Rachel and Leah, who was his first cousin, because that was his mom's brother's children. You look at these things that has happened, but I had to bring to his attention. I said, if that was bad, then imagine how far barbaric or how demonic the other side was with the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, because God said, I don't want you to even mix with them, because their ways are so abominable. So if this was bad, how much more abominable were their ways in these days that we're living in? Well, you can't even, in Sweden, if you preach against homosexuality, you'll get arrested. But I'm looking at, I told you about these crowd of witnesses. We got a crowd of witnesses when Peter said that they told him, go, but don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. So you got to look at it. Stephen, when he was talking about God and talking about Abraham, he got martyred. And you look at, I'm telling you, you got these crowd of witnesses that saying that I couldn't even preach Jesus without having my head cut off or being tied in skins or in the fear of doing it. But you got the freedom to talk about God and to tell him people about his goodness and his grace and his mercy, and you keep your mouth closed. My God. But you got these crowd of witnesses that you can look at. I said they were searching. They didn't have a home here. They didn't belong here. They said they were searching for a house in the land that the builders and hands were making a God that they didn't belong here. They were nomads in this land. They were trying to get back to the kingdom of heaven where they belong. And we made our kingdom right here on earth. I'm comfortable right here. So if Christ was to come and say, I'm coming to get you all, and the rest I'll come back and get you next week, answer yourself truthfully. How many would say, I'll be ready next week? I'll be ready next month when you come. Or are you ready to go be with him now because you love him that much and you can't stand to be away from him, just as he couldn't stand away from Enoch? He said he couldn't, you know, he couldn't even have Enoch out of his presence, so he walked and he was no more. I'm saying tonight God wants you to walk and be no more. He wants you to be so much you into him as he's into you. It's time out for knowing him through the way mama know him and grandmama know him and knowing of him. But God said, tonight I want you to know me. I need you to know me like never before. I need you to lay out before me like never before. I need you to begin to surrender yourself. Someone said, I surrender all. Said, all to thee, my gracious Savior, I surrender all. How many tonight say, Lord, I surrender all, Lord. Lord, I give myself away, God. God, I decrease that you increase, God. Say, God, use me, Lord. So, see, I give myself so you can use me. Use me, Lord, for your goodness. Use me for your grace. Use me for your mercy, God. How many tonight can say, Lord, I'm available to you? See, sometimes we have the ability, we have the capability, and we can sometimes, oftentimes, be dependable. But guess what? We're not always available. But tonight I want you to say, make availability to God your portion. Lord, I'm available to you, God. My storage is empty, Lord, and I'm available to you, God. I'm your mouthpiece, God. God, I'm your hands, God. I'm your feet, God. I'm your back, God. Hey, whatever you need, Lord, I'll be in this hour, in this season. And God, I trust you. When things are impossible, I trust you, Lord. When days are gray and meek, God, I trust you, Lord. And even in my tears, God, even in my doubt, even in my grief, even in my I trust you, Lord. See, here's the thing about being changed by your circumstances and changed by your circumstances. When my wife's mother passed, right? And when she, in the passing, it was an unexpected passing. And in the midst of her passing, my wife's circumstances changed immediately. She was changed by grief, changed by disappointment, changed by anger, changed by hurt, changed by pain. And it was oftentimes when we saw that she even looked at, and I know she had disappointment with God. She was angry with God. It was in a revival, and it was an awesome time in God, and she was just mean mugging. And I was like, baby, what's wrong? But I had to recognize that she was in pain. So I look at the body sometimes, and here's what I'm talking about, being changed by circumstances, changed by pain. And I look at my mother, and when 2014, when she went for pneumonia, they said it was she had a hernia, and they did an operation, an emergency operation. And in the midst of the operation, that was she received a blood infection from a PICC line, a dirty PICC line. So she got a blood infection that was septic. And her body began to swell up, and they put her in an induced coma and whatnot. And so after that, she had to learn how to walk again. She had to learn how to talk again and even had to learn how to write again. But that's something that's about being changed by your circumstances, even beyond your control. So I can see my wife, even in her body sometimes, in pain, and I can see her saying, you just don't understand, George, that every day my body ache, and sometimes in that pain, and I'm going to talk to Brother Job about this, and sometimes in that pain, you know, you just want to say, if I can just get 1 hour of relief, I won't be tempted. If I can get just one day, God, without this pain, oh, God, I just praise you for it. Without this pain in my back, without this pain in my foot, without this pain in my head, without this pain in my knees, if I can just get one day, Lord. And I can see Brother Job when God began to just love on him so much and trust him so much. See, sometimes we're telling us to trust God, but here's how God just trusted Job so much that he said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And when he began to try Job, and Job, he has his body is getting affected and infected. What Job said, boils was all over his body, and he was just scraping himself with ashes, with the ashtray, just scraping himself. And just wanted some comfort. If I can get one day of comfort, my God. That's what I mean by being changed by your circumstances. And we look at those that are less fortunate than us, and some of those that are homeless, some that's living under a bridge, and some choose that their intent is that they're okay with that, they're content with it, but some want different, some want more. And so we're praying for them tonight that if they can just get one night of relief, or they can just, if I can just touch but the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. If I can take that virtue from him, then not only would I be changed by my circumstances or changed by my circumstances. But God said a wonderful change will come over you tonight as you begin to trust him, as you begin to love on him. Now, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice to begin to come to a place right now with God where nothing else matters but being close to him, with falling in love with him, with loving him and letting him love you back. And begin to trust God tonight. Father, we come against every satanic assignment that's been sent against everyone on the sound of my voice, attacking their finances, attacking their family members, attacking their loved ones, God, attacking their health, God, attacking their mind, Father, attacking their homes, Father, from spiritual invasions, God. And God, we render the assignment void and all that everything that Satan has sent forth to your children, God, everything that's sent forth to your people to bring forth harm and hurt and destruction, God, and disaster, God. We come against it now, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ against it, and we begin to place blood shield, hedge of protections around each and every one of your vessels, Father. We cry out, God, for those that are confused, God. Those that are, see, even today I seen a text, one of our ministers sent a text that had a lot of transgenders that looked like women, and you won't be able to tell the difference But God, we come against even that spirit, Father, the spirit of confusion, God, the spirit, God, that want to tell you, God, you are a liar. You made a mistake when you made me, because even though I came out a heterosexual male, that I'm supposed to have been a woman. The devil is a lie. We come against the spirit of perversion right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We come against every spirit that has darkened the mind of God's people and the children of God and the body of Christ. And God, we as believers, Father, we're no longer counterfeit believers. We're no longer believers in a coma, God, but we have awoken. You said it's time to wake up, Father, and it's the awakening, God. So we wake up, Father, to the light. We wake up, God, to being children of the light. And we begin to praise you for it right now, Father. Father, we stand in the gap for those that don't know you as our Lord and personal Savior, God. We stand in the gap, God, not only in word, but God, we'll begin to stand in the gap in deed and in actions, God. You will see us, God, move, God, more and more, God, for those that are in need, God. You said you gave my hands to reach out to man. You gave my ears to hear that voice so clear, Father. And that's what we're doing in our eyes, God, to see, God. This is what you want, God, so here we are. And then the session saying, take my spirit, Father. Use it however you see fit, but then take me, God, and use me, God. I'm yours, God. You said, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, God. And with thanksgiving, God, I'll be a sanctuary for you, Lord God. And then, God, we come to a place, God, where we're persuaded, God. We're fully persuaded, God, that if you said it, God, you can do it. We're fully persuaded, God, that even when Moses went into your presence, Father, he said, hey, I know that I know that I know. Oh, God, we're fully persuaded that we have a no-so relationship with you now, God, and a no-so salvation, God. We're fully persuaded, God, if God said it, you too will bring it to pass, Father. We're fully persuaded, Father, that even as you began to speak to Isaiah, and you said that as far as the east is to the west, and it is you to us, God. And not only that, but you said that your word will not go out void, God, but it will accomplish what you set out for it to do. We're fully persuaded, God, that by his stripes we are healed, God. We're fully persuaded, God, that you are the Almighty God, the magnificent one, the rose in the valley, the rose of Sharon, the lily in the valley, God, the mighty warrior. You're the Lion of Judah. You're God. You're the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, Father. We're fully persuaded when we say, Abba, Father, we belong to you, God, and we trust you, God, with our tomorrow, no matter what it looks like. The man said, I had some good days. I had some hills to climb. I had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But he said, when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days. And, Lord, I won't complain, but, God, I'll begin to trust you. So, God, in sin in this prayer and ill in this prayer, God, I ask God for you to arise, oh, Lord, tonight and demonstrate your power on behalf of your children. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. Meet every need, God, that need to be met. You know the needs. You know that's going, that here came with grief. You know that need something. It's that somebody come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs you. Somebody praying. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by here, Father. Come by here tonight with your presence. Come by here to God. It's a still small voice. Come by here to God in your whirlwind. Come by here to God however you see fit. But come by here, oh Lord. Come by here. We're in a time now where, you know, we had our comments. What is your circumstance tonight? What is your relationship with God like tonight? Where are you tonight? Where do you stand with God tonight? Do you have anything you want to add to, take away and give and share and say, hey, God, or even a rededication of your life to God tonight, a recommitment. Say, God, I recommit my time to you, God. I trust you, God. I know, God, that I've been given too much time to work, too much time to television, too much time to entertainment, God, and too much time to my phone, too much time to Facebook, too much time to the Internet, God, than I've been given to you. And tonight I'm repenting, Father. Tonight I say I'm guilty of it. And, God, I give myself away, God. I come back to you, God. I need to spend that time with you. God, the time that I spend with Facebook, I can give it to you. Those hours, God, that I stand up watching television, I can give that to you, God. The time I watch the sports games, the time I'm watching soap operas, I can give that to you, God. You want to begin to speak on that, and you want to share, even want to come to a point of repentance tonight, the floor is open. You press 1, I can see you. 0792, your mic is open.
Praise God. Praise God. Awesome word on tonight. I just thank God for you. God just stepped on all on my toes. And as you were speaking, I went to my Facebook page and deleted it because I know that I spend way too much time scrolling up and down and looking at nonsense when I can. And I do see, you know, different prayers and different things to God, in which, you know, those are very helpful. But I know that's other things that I'm looking at that that is not of God, and it takes a lot of my time, and that's time that I can be in my word. And, you know, I will get up and read my scripture, but what's one scripture or two, you know, one chapter or two chapters, but I can scroll all day long on Facebook. So, and I know God is not pleased. So as you were speaking tonight, I was wondering, what if he came tomorrow? Would I be ready? So God, I repent on tonight for each and every time that I put something else in front of you, Lord. And I repent for each time that I wanted to read, but then I said, no, I'm going to go and scroll. Or each and every time that I decided that I was going to read my scriptures, but I found something on TV to watch, Lord God. So I repent on tonight and ask for forgiveness of you, Lord God, that you forgive me, Lord God, and help me to grow closer to you, because I do want to be ready when you come. I don't want you to say, I don't know you, or, you know, turn me away because I turned you away. So, God, please forgive me and help me, Lord, and direct me to be closer to you. That's my prayer on tonight. That's my repentance on tonight. That's my my circumstance. My circumstances, I put other things before him, and I know that I do. And when I'm doing it, I can feel guilty, and I still do it. So I'm asking God to forgive me on tonight and to help me do better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's say we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, man. He's never failed us yet. So why would we continue to fail him? Why would we continue to, and I'm just, like, again, I'm telling you, I'm talking to George, man. Why do we continue to bounce back? Just like I had a song that I said, I talked about myself being like a Hebrew, you know what I mean? You know, like a track star. One minute I'm serving God, it gets good, and God, I got it from here. But we got to let God have control. I remember my mom church sing this song, and my mom sing it all the time. It just say, God's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. You know, he put that reassurance way down in my soul. God's got it all in control. And then they tell you this, he say, he has my life in his hands. God's got my life in his hands. You know, he put that reassurance way down in my soul. God's got it all in control. So we got to have that blessed assurance, you know, that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So we gotta be fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that God has it all in control. And Father, I repent as well for every time I put things before you, and I want to make it my own. And we know you said the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jacob represents that natural man, and that natural man is us thinking, up. I got to do it this way. I got to be my own provider. But when you said when he wrestled, he said, I ain't gonna let you go till you bless me, and you changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And Israel was the one that said, God, guess what? I depend on you now. I'm no longer dependent on me. I'm no longer trusting me. I'm no longer surrendering. But I depend on you. My dependence is in you. I'm fully persuaded. And God, hey, I have decided to trust you. Would there be anyone else? You press one, I can recognize you. But we bless God for Evangelist Flint. Hey, 1-2-1, you know I'm over. Your line open, brother.
Oh. Thank you, Brother George, Sister Maria, and Mother Rosa. Oh, it was a divine intervention tonight to be up under the sound of the ministry, furthering my spiritual growth. And I love y'all. I'd like to give a public declaration to the Lord, who I love with all my heart. I just thank him for my circumstances. I'm still meditating on the last service about a thorn in the side. can be a blessing. I just thank him for his time that he separated me from my loved ones, but I'd rather be in the presence of them. But he had to enable this to make me a better man. To increase my wisdom, my relationship with him, so I can be a teacher and I can be able to encourage them when they're down and they're doubting, you know, the simple things of the world in their affirmities. And I just thank you, Brother George, for encouraging me. I just thank you for your guidance and thank you for your wisdom. That's likewise, Sister Maria, Mother Arnold, and Mother Auntie Wanda. I love y'all, and I just thank God for y'all. And I just can't wait to God reunite and I'll be able to be in y'all's presence in person. And everybody from the sound of my voice, I love y'all. And I thank y'all for being the elect sisters and brethren of Christ Jesus. And for that sister, I encourage you and I'll give you props for deleting your favorite page and repenting. And I want to repent too. If there's anything that I put before the Lord, I repent, Father. But I'm in love with the Lord. I can't live daily without him. I know that's my lifeline. And so, you know, I'm always under conviction. So I resort to the word, but I just thank him. Because it's no better insurance. You know, if I will believe the report of God before I believe the report of man. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I love y'all. I love you, Father God. And I just ask you to continue to bless my brother and my sister in ministry, Lord, and use me as a best instrument. However you want to bless me to help them further their progression. It's according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We bless you. We bless you. And we bless you for enduring. And we put a blood shield head of protection around you to cover you and shield and protect you in every area, in every aspect. When you're going and you're coming. You know, David been telling God, he said, you know my laying down and you know my rising up. And he said, and we look at the 10th verse and say, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me. When he said there were none of them. So God telling you, you're in that book right now. You're still in that chapter right now, I think 43. And God said, guess what? I still got you. I still got you, son. And be encouraged tonight. Because your time is coming. We shout out in love. I speak that prophetically, and I speak it that, as God's utterance, that your time is coming. And we know how to be chained and changed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we love you. Anyone else want to just share the goodness of the Lord and what he has done for you and how he set you free, how he delivered? I know myself personally. I can tell you how God changed me and where I was at a time. My wife, my mom can tell you, I was facing almost 40 years in prison and for a trafficking charge in Soberton, Georgia. Never heard of a day in my life till I got there. But guess what? In that time frame, I was becoming, and you just have to get to a place where you've been sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's what God had gotten me to. Well, I was just fed up with me. And I remember being in that county jail, and I shared with my daughter, because we're talking about loving God, and we're talking about loving, you know, people. And it said, I woke up one morning, I said, man, and I was talking to the inmates, and I shared this with my daughter this week. I said that I told her, you never really love. I mean, you know, people say, I love you, mom, I love you, dad, and all that stuff there, but I was like, you can't. And so I used to tell people, I said, man, do you really think you loved your mom? Because, you know, everybody in that prison, you know, most men have a relationship with their moms. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you couldn't. I had to come to the realization I didn't love her because guess what? I didn't love me. The Bible said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And see, what I was doing, I was taking penitentiary chances. I was smoking marijuana. I wasn't talking at that time, but, you know, drinking, fornicating. Sometimes having protected sex, sometimes having unprotected sex. So all these gambles we was doing to the temple destroyed. And he said, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God. Anything you do to defile it, the Lord destroy it. So these are the things that we've done, and we defiled the temple, but yet we say we love it. Yet we say we love ourselves, I love you. But if I'm defiling the temple and doing things to defile the temple, I cannot love me. And so therefore, I cannot love you. So God had to take us out of that place, take me out of me, to put me in him, so that he can. That's why I said, love the Lord with all that God, all that heart, and all that might, and all that strength. So that if you give him 100% of your love, then he can love them through you, or love you through him. Let me correct that. And that's what we had to get to, a place there, a place called there, and a place where we take no thought. And at that point, when I got fed up and I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, God brought the change in my life. So I was changed by my circumstances, but yet God changed me by my circumstances. I said it in love. Your mic is open, 1436.
Good afternoon, Pastor George.
Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Well, I'm not feeling too good today. I was going to get on the line, but I can not get on the line and praise God, no matter what you're going through. I just thank him, because I'm still alive, you know. Maybe it's some pain and stuff, but I thank God that
praise
I'm alive.
God.
And I thank God that he's working with me. You know, he's not going to leave me or forsake me. It's only going to last for a little while, and I have the faith and believe it's going to, this too will pass. So listening to y'all's show is a very uplifting moment for me, because when you think about the joy of the Lord, it's your strength. You forget about those pains, even though I'm talking there, I'm not in no pain. But when I'm just laying here, the pain will try to come. But I just thank God for being on the line and listening to everything that y'all was talking about. And I thank God for y'all keeping all of us up in prayer. And my apostle and pastor for covering us all every day. And y'all just keep on doing what God gives y'all to do. Y'all doing a great job in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that'd be another one to add to or take away before we come to a closing. We're going to get Pastor Wanda over here, and we're going to get Pastor Arnold over here, and then we're going to get a benediction. So. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank God for the beautiful message this evening. I thank God for each and everything. I thank God for the peace that he has given me in my soul. Just total peace. I feel as though I'm a little child playing on a beach. I have such a peace, and I thank God for it. But I know he said he put us in a heavenly place right here on earth. I just want to give God the praise, give him all the honor and all the reverence that he's due. And all of it, and all of me, in Jesus' name. And I thank God for each and every one of you that are on the line. And I want you to know, no matter what adversity that might come upon you, just remember, just shake it off. Shake it off, and shake it out of your mind, and know that he is the Lord, and he does still watch us. He washes us and washes us, and he makes us white as snow. God bless you.
Yeah, praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Words of wisdom from the woman of God. He washes us white as snow. That's the apostle, you got something you want to say? You want to give us a minute?
I just like to say that the word that God brought tonight was the awesome word. And I'm reading a book right now on being an overcomer. And we've got to overcome all these things that so easily beset us. The message tonight is telling us, don't give in too easy. Resist the devil. So the Lord said, if you resist him, he shall flee. But if you curl up to him, he's going to overtake you and destroy you. I just encourage you to take to heart the word, the message that the man of God brought tonight. It was an awesome word, and it's a teaching word. It's a leading word to teach you what to do and what not to do. If you want to be where you say you are. A lot of times we say we old. I know I'm going to heaven. But you have things going wrong. That's the only thing that you are. You got to come to terms with coming in on a pure heart and a heart full of love to one another and learn, like Pastor said, to love yourself. Love yourself, then you can freely love others. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. Next voice you hear be none other than Evangelist Maria Flint giving us our benediction. If no one else has anything they want to say or share. Evangelist Flint, your mic is open.
We just thank God for tonight. We thank God for all the words of inspiration and testimonies. And we're praying for Sister Gloria, God, that you would heal her body. She says she's not feeling well tonight, God. This is your daughter. So we ask right now that you heal her, God, deliver her, God, and set her free from all ailments, from all illnesses, from sickness, Lord God. And we know that you are the healer. So, God, we are trusting in you, believing in you. And we have faith that you can do it right now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. And we just thank God for the word. I pray for Pastor tonight that you just infuse him back and give him everything that he's poured out, Lord God. We just thank you right now for this word, and we know that it came straight from you. So, Father, give him the desires of his heart, Lord God, and bless him abundantly, Lord God, that he could continue to pour out and to give and to shower us with your word, Lord God, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you bless each and every person that's on this line tonight, bless their families, they're coming and they're going, Lord God. Until next Thursday, we thank you for each and every person that got on this line, and we ask that you let each one reach one, and that someone will tell someone about this message, about this blog, and invite somebody on next Thursday. And we just thank you for our safety on this week as I travel back home from visiting my daughter, which was an awesome, awesome week with her. I just thank God for her growth and the things that we got accomplished with you, Lord God, and in you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that the change and the walk, the different walk because of you, Lord God. So I thank you for this week. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to have a blessed week. We're going to have a prosperous week. We're going to have a successful and a victorious week. We will all be favored, and the blessings will come down. We're going to pull down blessings and miracles, and we're going to have great testimonies on next Thursday. We're going to have praise reports, and we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask for safe travel and mercy for my son as he travels from Indiana, flying back to California tomorrow, Lord God. Be with him and get him back to California safely. And we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Everybody have a great night. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless. Praise God. Do what? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am.